Chapman, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and The God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, he found them sleeping and said unto them, could not ye watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It is written, there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, borne down with deep sleep. It is written, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. It is written, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that he will think of us, that we perish not.
For God is just a prayer away.
And this, knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, has saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears did stay. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I did obey. Too many dangers, toils, and snares I have already been. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead to him. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's grace than when we first begun.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, wake up. Christians, wake up. That is the warning of Paul in Romans 13. Wake up. And this knowing the season, that it already is time to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the armor of light. Paul's exhortation to put on the gospel armor signifies spiritual conflict. Armor of light. People don't usually associate being a Christian with warfare. But he speaks in another place of a spiritual host of wickedness against us in heavenly places. We are in a war with an enemy that we cannot see. If you could see the spirit world at this moment, you would see the leering eyes of fiends and the forked tongues of demons. If you are a Christian, you have a vicious enemy against you, so wake up and arm yourselves for the battle. For salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Not only is salvation nearer than when we first believed, but damnation is also nearer than when we first believed. If the story of the 10 virgins who fell asleep mean anything at all, so wake up. The night is far spent. That's the dark night of this world, and the day that is at hand is that eternal day that John tells us about in Revelation. And there shall be night no more, And they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign for ever and ever. Just how near is salvation or damnation? It is closer than you think. When you drive down the highway at high speed and meet another car coming in the opposite direction, if 3 feet is all that separates you from a head-on collision, then you are just 3 feet from being able to hear the angels sing, 3 feet from standing in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, or 3 feet from hearing the shrieks and cries of the damned, 3 feet from where the cry is heard, "Dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." Wake up! We are closer to eternity than when we first believed. Wake up, for many in the Lord's army are asleep. Wake up, because the devil never sleeps. Wake up, because there is an analogy in physical sleep and spiritual sleep. A person who is physically asleep has no idea what's going on. Spiritually, this is true also. A battle of the fiercest kind is raging all around us, and most Christians have no idea what is going on. Wake up! Another analogy is when a person is asleep physically, he is subject to all kinds of fantasies in his dreams. The person who is spiritually asleep also has fantasies, has many fantasies. Some have a fantasy that there's no hell. Wake up! Jesus said concerning the judgment day, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling in them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." Wake up! Some have a fantasy that somehow God is so good, he will never let anyone be lost. They fantasize that on the day of judgment, the Lord will line up the whole human race and say, "I forgive the whole bunch of you. Come on into heaven." Now that is a real fantasy. It is high time to awake out of sleep. So Christians, wake up. Still another comparison to physical sleep is sleepwalking. Sleepwalkers who walk around like zombies. We see them every day spiritually asleep, going to work, going to school, going to church services, walking around like zombies, unaware that life as we know it in this world could end at any moment, even more swiftly than the bombing of the Twin Towers. Wake up! One time, when I was in my early teens, I went with another kid to visit a Boy Scout meeting. We observed their goings-on. They were wearing uniforms. They were lined up in patrols. They had a scoutmaster. There was one kid called the senior patrol leader. When the meeting came to a close, the last thing in that meeting was when the bugler played taps. Now, taps is what they play in the military at the close of the day. At funerals of service people, the honor guard fires the rifles in salute, and then a bugler plays taps. Now, at this Boy Scout meeting, this other kid turned to me when the bugler finished playing taps. He never heard it before. And he asked me, he said, "Is that a Catholic song?" I told him it wasn't. I did not know it then, but if I had known then what I know now, I would have said, "No, it is not a Catholic song. It is a Church of Christ and or Christian church song, and it means that most of the people in it are asleep, and the rest are dead. Awake, thou that sleepest, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand, so wake up." It is indicated in Scripture that when the Lord returns, there will be the sound of the trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound. In the service of our country, the bugler plays Reveille in the morning. The words sometimes used are, "Can't get him up, can't get him up, can't get him up in the morning." I know many that appear to be in such a spiritual coma that even when the trumpet sounds and the Lord descends with a shout, even that will not be able to get them up in that great getting up morning. Then listening to Paul's admonition again, to put on the armor of light. In Ephesians, he calls the armor of light the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But in Romans, he said, before you put on the armor of light, that we need to cast off the works of darkness. Evidently, you cannot wear the armor of light. You cannot put it on over the works of darkness. You cannot dress like the devil and wear the robe of Christ on top of it. Wake up. Be strong in the Lord. Wake up. You don't have a chance if you're not in the Lord. Without the armor of God, you are fighting the devil barehanded. You're like a person fighting in a duel with an opponent that has a double-barrel sawed-off shotgun at 6 paces, and all you have is a water pistol. You're like a soldier in a war where the enemy has the atomic bomb and all you have is a firecracker. You are trying to put out the fires of hell with a medicine dropper when we ought to be opening the floodgates of God's great river of grace. Wake up! Several years ago, someone wrote and said, as Christians, we should not sing songs that glorified war. The message of the Lord is peace, not war. Therefore, such songs as Onward Christian Soldiers should not be used, nor such gospel favorites as Battle Hymn of the Republic, with such stirring words as His Truth is Marching On. This was a strange statement indeed when we consider the fact of so many references in the Word of God to Christian warfare. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, "Suffer hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier." Hardship in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ for the average Christian soldier is the last thing that he has in mind. If it's easy, I'll do it. If it's hard, I won't. I will not inconvenience myself for the Lord and his church for anything. If it's cheap, I'll do it. If it costs, I won't. Wake up! When a soldier takes the oath of allegiance to his country, he does not go home and forget it. There is basic training to do. There's a battle to fight. Sometimes the people in service put on their dress uniform and have a parade. The band is playing Stars and Stripes Forever. Flags are flying in the breeze. They march in perfect precision. Hep, two, three, four. Hep, two, three, four. Past the reviewing stand. All eyes turn to look upon the dignitaries and the order to fall out. What then? Do they all go home until the next parade? That's the way it is in the Lord's army. We put on full dress on the Lord's day, and that's not saying a whole lot these days. Pass by the reviewing stand of the Lord's Supper. Hep, two, three, four. Enjoy the foot-stomping music and some complimentary remarks from the reviewing stand about how well we performed, and then go home and wait for the next parade. Jesus has not called us to a parade. He has called us to a pilgrimage. He has not called us to a frolic. He has called us to a fight. He has not called us to a circus. He's called us to a crusade. Wake up! The grand old war song of faith could be changed somewhat to fit the modern-day church's idea of spiritual warfare. Backward Christian soldiers marching as in fear, with the cross of Jesus going to the rear. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, but we are going backwards, our banners do not flow. Like a bunch of weaklings move the church of God, brothers, we are treading where no saints have trod. We are all divided, not one body we, united in dissensions and one in apathy. Wake up! Then again, Paul also said to Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal whereunto thou wast called, and didst profess a good confession before many witnesses. Many have forgotten the good confession they made before many witnesses. The devil laughs up his sleeve at what some Christian soldiers call fighting the good fight of the faith. Fighting the devil is more than going to gospel sings and listening to thigh-slapping music Wake up! The Christian life is a fight. The devil will contest every inch of the ground until you breathe your last breath. Many, of course, have found the service of the Lord's army a fight. They fight each other. One elder told me one time that he was on the school board. He said he was on the board of a service club, the board of a building and loan. He said when these various boards met, they had their differences, but they settled those differences peacefully. But he said when he attended a church quote, board meeting, unquote, that was the only board meeting where everybody went crazy. In the average congregation, the most pressing problem they have is whether to have roast chicken or ham at the next church supper. This is not what Paul had in mind when he said, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Wake up." I read one time where a woman was talking to another woman about her son, who was in the army, and she bragged about what a good soldier he was. She said her son had blown up 3 ammunition dumps. Her son, she said, had derailed 5 troop trains. The other woman said, "What kind of a medal did he get?" The first woman said, "Well, he didn't get any medal for that. He did all that while he was still in basic training." Many soldiers in the Lord's army spend more time fighting each other than the enemy. Fight the good fight of the faith. Wake up. It seems strange also that anyone would say that there is no warfare in the spiritual realm, when again Paul referred to the spiritual conflict when he told the Corinthians, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds and the casting down of every high thing and imagination that is exalted against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into obedience at the knowledge of Jesus Christ." The Lord's army needs to be on the offensive against the enemy. There are strongholds to be pulled down, and they will not be pulled down with imaginary weapons. The devil laughs up his sleeve at the toys we use to defeat him. The Lord's soldiers think they can defeat the devil with the toy of praise courses that say little, if anything, the toy of bigger buildings, the toy of taking busloads over many miles to a gospel sing, the toy of basketball courts where they say reaches the young people, and we ask, reaches them with what? What you reach them with is what you reach them to. Take away the toys of the church, and there's little, if any, church left. Wake up! These toys will never bring down the strongholds of drugs, the strongholds of abortion, the stronghold of living together without marriage. The only weapon that can pull down strongholds is the weapon of the Word of God. So wake up! The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. The Lord's army in the American sector has overlooked the power of the Bible. On our shortwave radio broadcast, writers from all over the African continent make strange requests. They do not say, "Send us tapes of your music. Tell us how to build a family life center. Teach us to form a gospel band." The strange thing they request without exception is, "We need Bibles." Wake up! Salvation or damnation is closer than when we first believed. It takes more than imagination to defeat the devil. Some imagine that defeating the devil can be accomplished by telling people to bow their heads and ask the Lord to come into their hearts. If this is your weapon, you did not get that out of the Bible, you got it out of your head. On the day of Pentecost, it was not Peter's imagination, but the Holy Spirit that inspired him to say, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Strange indeed, with such a battle raging for the souls of men, that some short-sighted person could say that the Lord's work is not a battle. Wake up! The armor of God will give you an advantage against the wiles of the devil. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the devil is too clever for any of us. His wiles alone will do us in. Logic is no part of the devil's warfare. He tells some people the Bible is not the Word of God, then turns around and tells others the Bible is the Word of God, and then says, but so is every other book that claims to be the Word of God. Sometimes he tells some people they are good enough to go to heaven without Jesus, then turns around and tells others they are so wicked that even Jesus can't save them. He even cons some people into proving to them that he doesn't even exist. There is no way any of us can overcome the wiles of the devil. He can sock every jock. He can sack every jack. He can chill every Jill. He can zap every sap. He can cope with every dope. He can stick it to every hick. I'm sure you will find yourself in that bunch somewhere in one category or the other. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in jealousy and strife, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul warns here about these three couplets. He says, no reveling, no drunkenness, no chambering, no wantonness, no jealousy and strife. How could I say that to make you understand it? Paul warns this way. He says, don't get drunk, don't fornicate, and don't start a fight. Remember, he was talking to a church of Christ. At the end of this epistle, he said, all the churches of Christ salute you. Seems like rather unneeded advice. However, I know of preachers who have been arrested for drunken driving and fired because of it. I know of preachers who have been caught fornicating in the church office and been fired of it. I know of others who were dismissed on the spot for looking at porn on the internet in the church office, fired on the spot. I know of other preachers in my general area who have split churches over heresy, and one wonders what church they have in their sights next. Of course, these examples are spectacular, but really a reflection of what a great many of the church members do all the time anyway, and get no publicity for it. So wake up. Paul in Hebrews warns us to seek after holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Ezekiel amplifies this when he says, when the righteous man turns back to iniquity, then his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. Suppose this scenario. A hypocrite appears in the judgment. He tells the Lord that he is a member of the Church of Christ. The Lord tells the recording angel, look him up under Church of Christ. The angel says, Lord, I can't find his name in the membership. The man says, but I observed the Lord's Supper for 30 years and never missed. The Lord says, look him up under Lord's Supper. The recording angel said, Lord, I don't find him that he ever observed the Lord's Supper even one time. The man says, there must be some mistake. I gave 10% every week. The Lord says, look him up under money. The angel says, I can't find him there either, that this man ever gave 1 cent. That's the way it will be. If a person turns back to the old life, his baptism becomes unbaptism, his salvation becomes unsalvation, and he becomes unsaved and ungraced. Wake up and cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Last of all, he said, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God's super weapon. That's the only weapon that the Lord seems to have when he returns on the white horse. He will rule his enemies with a rod of iron as he treads the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Now, this in conclusion. I read somewhere one time of an inventor who approached Napoleon Bonaparte and told him he had invented a bulletproof vest. This vest will stop any bullet. Napoleon told the man to put the vest on. The inventor obliged. After he got the bulletproof vest on, Napoleon pulled out a gun and shot him point blank in the chest. The bulletproof vest worked. The gospel armor works. The sword of the Spirit works. It is high time to awake out of sleep. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Wake up!
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.